Ain't that something? What about the, you just wash in the other kind, huh? Ain't that something? And I said, it comes out of the ground out there. They're going to ration it out there in California. I said, ours comes out of the ground. It's a well out there beside the house. And just all kind of weird stuff like that out there. There's too many people out there. There's too many people. There's only 6 million people in the state of North Carolina. The whole state. There's 11 million in Los Angeles. One city. And I appreciate them being with us. And he's got his work cut out for him. There's no doubt about it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we've had a lot of preliminaries tonight, a lot more than usual. So I'm just going to get right in the scripture and read it to you, bring a message right quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 is a great verse. Everybody that's saved can shout about Ephesians 2:8. Boy, if you had a nickel for every time that verse had been quoted in church, you'd be rich. By grace are you saved through faith. Hallelujah. Boy, we can all shout on that, can't we? But there's a verse, two verses below it, that most people don't even know is there and don't want to know. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good what? That's a dirty word. That's one of them four-letter words nowadays. You know what the dirtiest word in America is? W-O-R-K. Work. All these, and that's an unpopular word nowadays. Oh, I have a position. Well, where do you work? I don't work. I have a position at the factory, or I do this or that. Not work. That's a four-letter word. And somebody said America was in better shape when we had cleaner minds and dirtier fingernails. Amen? Hard work never killed nobody. And the book says that even though we're saved by grace, that God creates us in Christ. The reason He don't take you on to heaven the second you get saved is to leave you down here to work for Him. You have this unusual, peculiar teaching nowadays that people's, when you say do a work for God, it offends people. And they say, oh, you don't do nothing for God. It's Him doing it through you. And well, I understand that terminology, but you know what I'm talking about. Just taking off your shirt and hauling off and working for God. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, a working church. You knew this was coming right before camp, didn't you? The Lord always lays this on my heart before camp. A working church. Same message as last year, different title. A working church. Amen. Now, listen, y'all could save me about half a cup of sweat tonight if everybody would just hit the altar and say, I'll work, I'll work, I'll work, I'll work. Preacher, what wilt thou have me do? Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Bruce, what wilt thou have me do? What wilt thou have me do? If everybody would just haul off and work. You people that have been coming to church here for 7-8 years, you're in a dangerous position. And your position is this. When you first started coming into church, you was on fire. You loved God. You wanted to get in everything. But as time goes by, you see other new Christians coming in getting on fire. And you have a tendency to just to kind of slide out of everything. And the first thing you know, you're just sitting there watching everything going on. And the new converts do it all. It should never be like that. The old converts should lead the way. Amen? Yes. The old, you hear me now, listen to me. The old converts should lead the way on soul winning. The old converts should lead the way in visitation. The old converts should lead the way in giving. The old converts should lead the way in praying and singing and rejoicing and praise the Lord. Everything shouldn't be left up to the new converts in the church. But most churches tonight, the only people that'll do anything for God is them that's been saved for less than 2 years, and then they find out you don't have to listen to the preacher no more, that it's all right to sit back on your blessed assurance and count your blessings and just enjoy the trip to glory. But I want to preach tonight on a working church. And to quote this fellow that used to travel around the country a lot, I ain't going to quote him word for word, but I'm going to change his word and say this. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Say it again. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Brother, I don't believe in being a spiritual tick. Amen. I don't believe in that. That's a bad illustration, but that's what popped in my head. I'm telling it to you, that pops in my head. We got a bunch of spiritual ticks. All they want to do is go to one church while God's a blessing it and just suck the blood out of it and just get fat and shout all over the place. And soon as trouble happens at that church, they'll leave it and let it fight the battle by itself and go over here where there's another group started and suck off of them a while and then suck off another bunch for them. They're like that little boy. Boys down in the basement, and his mama held out and she said, "Leroy, where are you?" He says, "I was in the basement." She said, "What you doing down in that basement?" He says, "Eating grapes." She said, "Where are you getting them grapes?" He said, "Off the dog." Hey, man, that's what you remind me of. Boy, they just go around from one place to the other and just try to suck off of every group they can get off of. But when God made man, He gave him a job. I don't believe God's ever had a possum that He didn't have a road for him to get run over on. I don't believe God's ever made a coon that He didn't have a tree for it to climb, or a rabbit that He didn't have a field for it to hop in. And I don't believe that God ever saved a Christian that He didn't have a job for that person to do. Now tonight, I want to divide this up into four parts right quickly. I'll not be long, so you listen real careful. I believe that if there's any need of our generation, it's to have churches who will hold off and work. Here's what I was thinking about this week. I was telling the preacher about when we was building this building. Lord have mercy. When I think back about building this building, I have mixed emotions. There was some great times, and there was some times that I honestly, it's a wonder we didn't kill each other in here. But I mean, these men would work all day long on their job. You boys remember many a night when I pulled in here at 11 o'clock at night, shined my headlights up in here. There'd be men in here putting up sheetrock. I'd been off to preach somewhere. I couldn't go home after revival. I couldn't stand it. I had to come back and see how many sheets they got nailed up. And boy, I'd pull up out here in the parking lot and shine my lights in here. We had old strings of lights running around in here. There's about four scaffolds high. This sheetrock in here ain't normal sheetrock. I mean, sheetrock in here, you got in the city limits, it's got to be extra thick and all that. Fire codes and this and that. And buddy, that stuff's heavy. They'd hand it up through there. Them men would hold it with their head and shoulders and everything else while one was a nailing. And I mean, had done worked on their job from 6 o'clock in the morning, many of them till 3 and 4 in the afternoon, run home and eat a bite of supper. You remember my prophetic message the Lord gave me up there in the old building? I believe the Lord gave me a word there that night when I was up there, and we had a lot of work to do. The building wasn't painted, the parking lot wasn't paved, the walls wasn't nailed up, the lights weren't in. It was just a shell. And I got up there on Sunday night, and I said, "We got 50 days to move in that building." Remember my famous sermon on 50 days? And I'd shout over and over and over, 50, or no, we had 6 weeks, 50 men. And I'd get up over and over and over, and I'd scream, 50 men. I said, "We need 50 men. I said, "We need 50 men. And I said, "We need 50 men." So many times, before that service over, we had 50 men that said, "If you'll shut up about 50 men, I'll go down there and do some work." And brother, we hauled off, and we sacrificed, and we worked, and brother, and those 6 times, I said, "We're going to move in that church." By the 4th of July, the last Sunday in June of 1986, we had services in here. There were 800 people here that morning. I walked out here. I heard that choir start singing. I mean to tell you, I'd like to have had a spell. It took all I could do to contain myself. Listen, salvation is free, paid for by the blood of Jesus, but God gives you blessings in the same proportion as you live for Him and do stuff for it. You want a blessing? Go out there and work for God all week long. Come back in here next Sunday morning and God will turn a honey keg over in your soul, and you'll get under that spout where the glory comes out, and you'll get a blessing, and you won't gripe about everything you don't like no more. Amen. So I want to talk to you about a working church. And the first thing I want to say is, we've got a lot of work to do in putting out the gospel. The main purpose of this church or any other church is to put the gospel out of these walls. One of the greatest ways ever anybody come up with of putting out the gospel is gospel tracts. You know, somebody give me some tracks. I mean, give me. You got any tracks on you, Brother Bruce? Amen. This brother's always prepared right here. Now, you know what you call this? You call that, Lordy mercy, I told you not to give no more of them out. Some nut wouldn't put my picture on them tracks. I had nothing to. I said, ain't nobody going to come if you give that out. And here's a good track right here. Best track's ever been made right here. And boy, I got to tell you, you take these things, there ain't nobody in here that can't do this. Watch. You know what these are? These are gospel tracks. These tell a little story, a little witness. Now, everybody in here, you think of the witness that this many people could witness to. Think of it. And I'm talking to you now. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking to you. You listening to me, Danny Tucker? Okay, I'm talking to you. You hear me, Wiley? Okay, all right. You hear me, John? All right, you hear me? You hear me back on the back, Shane? You hear me over there, Alan? Okay, you hear me? I don't know you, none of you people. You hear me, Brother Dickie? All right, you hear me, Brother Glenn? I'm talking to you. Many times you said, well, let's see if Brother Danny preaches a good sermon tonight. Just forget that and listen, okay? Take you one of these and get you a handful of these and you give these things out. Now watch how easy it is. Alright, you're at the laundromat. You're doing your clothes. And boy, you're there at the laundromat waiting on them. There's a man sitting over there waiting on his clothes. And you do like this. How you doing? Could have fooled me. Can I give you something to read here when you get time?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, see you later. Anybody in here can't do that? Can I give you something to read when you get time? Here you go, Jamie. Have one of these. Can I give you one of these? How's it going, brother? Hoss? You want one of these? All right. Now listen. Listen. Anybody in here can do that. You say, Brother Danny, I'm too timid. I can't do that. Can you do this? Surely to goodness you can do that. You can be half filled with the Spirit and do that. You can be lost and do that. Great day in the morning. Anybody can lay a piece of paper down. There is no excuse. You say, well, Brother Danny, does it do any good? Yes, sir, you better believe it. Let me give you some true testimonies of what happened when people give out gospel tracts. There's a fellow named Lee Richmond, and many years ago, he dropped a tract on the pavement in England. And he prayed, God, let a bad man find that tract. And it wasn't long till there's a fella come by, sure enough, looked at the tract, picked it up, found it, got saved. That man who got saved, name was John Bunyan. And John Bunyan wrote the great Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress. That book has been circulated outside of the Bible more than any other book probably in the history of the Christian church. Are y'all hearing me? And it was one man threw a tract down on the road and said, God, let a bad man pick that tract up. John Bunyan, man, who's lived in Bedford jail and brother witness to literally millions of people, done some of the greatest Christian literature writing of anybody since the Apostle Paul was converted by reading that tract. Not only that, let me give you another one here. There was a fella who named George Phillips. In 1929, he began to pray. And in 1940, he started putting tracts in whiskey bottles. And he collected whiskey bottles. He'd roll up a tract, put in the tract, throw it out off a bridge, like over into the water, in the ocean. And the waves would take them out to sea. Lived near a seaport. And he kept up track with it in 1976. He done that from 1940 to 1976. He received letters and responses from all 50 states and 48 foreign countries during those years. Think about that. Doing nothing but putting gospel tracts in whiskey bottles. Not only that, there was a diver, a man who was went skin-diving all the time, had some company in his home, and this fella noticed a strange ornament like on the fireplace mantle. He said, what's that you got there? And he said, look a little closer. And it was an oyster shell, and it was half open, had a little piece of paper in it. He said, what in the world's that? He said, you're not going to believe this. But I had run from God for a long, long time. He said, I was on the bottom of the ocean. I was around, I found the oyster. You wouldn't believe it. I pulled out this piece of paper out of that oyster shell. It was a gospel tract that said, told me to prepare to meet God. Lord have mercy. He said, buddy, he said, God started talking to me down there on the bottom of that ocean. He said, you know what he said? Quote, I can hold out against God's mercy in Christ no longer. He said, I fought God all these years. I can't hold out God. If you love me this much to stick a tract in an oyster's mouth on the bottom of the ocean, God, I'll take it. And he said, I got saved. I got saved right there. But I'll tell you what, when you're dealing, you know what these things got in them? They got the word of God. It's seed. Lord said, my word shall not return unto me void. That's supernatural stuff on them things. And you throw them out like that, you don't know where they're going, but God directs them little things right to where he wants them to go. Many, many, many hundreds of times I've seen men reading gospel tracts when we've been in a town, left town, you'd see old drunk sitting over there reading one just like he is. Maybe a tear running out of their eyes. We need to have a working church in putting out the gospel. Now, does everybody in here believe you can give out tracts? Say amen. Now, I'm not talking about 2/3 of you. I'm not talking about the first two rows. I'm talking about all you folks on that back row back there. I'm talking about all you folks on these middle rows. I'm talking about every single one of you. You say, well, I'm just a visitor here tonight to listen to the sermon. Hey, you don't get out of it that easy. You're accountable for what you hear tonight. And you better be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word of God and put out them gospel tracts. You say, well, I don't go to this church. Well, put your own name on some and give them out from your church. Put your preacher's phone number on there, your address, and put out the gospel and let the Lord do his work. I heard about a young doctor in New York City. He found a gospel tract on a table. He got converted. He got under conviction. He and his wife went to India as missionaries. He gave up his profession in being a doctor. He became missionaries to India. Their 9 children became missionaries, and there were 600 years of continual missionary work in India because somebody laid a gospel tract on a table. Did y'all hear that? 600 years on the mission field because somebody laid a tract on a table. I'm not asking you to get you a TV program or donate a $10,000 offering tonight. I'm asking you, get you a handful of them tracts and put them out wherever you go. You know what's wrong with some of y'all? You are too worried what somebody's going to say about you. Well, if I went down there and I done that at work, they might think that I'm one of the Strodes. And they'll think everybody from our church is weird. You know what? I used to worry a whole lot about what they thought about us. First time a little rumor got out 10 years ago, I thought, oh no, I got to straighten that out. Sunday, so many rumors been circulated down now. I gave up years ago, and I've stood back and watched God bless our church through it all. It's His church. He's the one building it. There's a lot of time. It's amazing. It beats all I ever seen in my life. I can't believe how we've come through all we've come through and still growing, still seeing people say, still got to shout and count. All I can say is, God, you did it. I sure didn't. But I want to be in on what you're doing. I want to find out which way God's going and get with God. Don't you? I don't want to be too stubborn and too proud. Put them things out. I heard about a little kid who gave a missionary a penny. The missionary took the penny and bought a tract. The tract was put in a box. A headhunter on the foreign field was converted. They went to a foreign country. 1,500 natives was saved because of that little child giving that gospel tract bought with that one penny. You think about that. The highways, the hedges, the prison, the rest home, the jails, the street. Many of our young men are going into these rest homes and preaching. How many of you fellas here preached in the rest home in the last 6 months? Raise your hand real high. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's about 8 or 9 right there that preached in the rest home just within the last 6 months. You say, Brother Danny, why? They don't get no offering when they go preach in a rest home. I mean, you know why they're doing that? To put that gospel out. Put that gospel out. Brother, you think about that. Some of those old folks sitting in there nobody cares about, never heard how much Jesus loves them. And then here comes a man giving up an evening with his family and opens that Bible and tells them that there's a God in heaven that loves them. That's putting it out, man. That's putting it out. That's what it's all about. Use every opportunity. We need to be soul conscious. We need to use every opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Have it on the tip of your tongue. You saw this morning, as I saw, people that sat on these pews, that sitting right here on these pews, that were won to the Lord by somebody caring about them this morning. Now, somebody asked me not long ago, they said, is your church an evangelistic church or is it a soul-winning church? There seems to be a difference in America. They say there's two ways to build a church. One is the people go out and get them and win them the Lord and bring them to church, and it don't matter what kind of preaching you got. And the other is just to have such good preaching people come from everywhere to hear it. Now, you know what our church should be? It should be both. Amen? You say, well, your preaching ain't that good. Your soul winning ain't the best in the world either. We're even, okay? We're all a bunch of failures. Now, like that one preacher, he said, that boy, he got up there and told this one guy, now, listen, brother. He said, you're going to have to quit singing in the choir. There's been 3 people tell me you can't sing. He said, that ain't nothing. There's been 50 told me you can't preach. So we're even, okay? I ain't much of a preacher if you ain't much soul winner. But I'll tell you what, we can try. We can do our best. We can put forth an effort. And by the grace of... Hey, you're not responsible for being the best, but you are responsible for trying. Amen? You're responsible for trying, and you don't know what you might do until you try. You never know how... Boy, I tell you, these boys come back from out there in Texas, and what Brother John got up here that first Sunday morning, it kind of rubbed off on me a little bit. I didn't even get into me, but it kind of got on me and gave me a new, fresh hunger to see people saved. And you know, I've been in revival meetings, and I get to see people saved a lot at night. But listen, if you ain't seen nobody saved in a long time, you ought to be hungry. You ought to be hungry, wanting to see somebody saved, wanting to see somebody saved. And a lot of people will get saved if we'll put the gospel out to them. There's a man here tonight. I looked over there and saw him. I forgot your name, brother. Stand up right there. You, that guy right there. What's your name? Ricky. See this boy right here? When was this? Thursday? This past Thursday. You know, this boy just got saved last Thursday. There's his wife, and there's them precious little kids. Hold up that little girl there, brother. You see that little girl tonight? Ain't she sweet? You know why she's in church? You know why she's getting to hear these kids sing about Jesus? You know what happened last Thursday? Stand up, Miss Millie. Miss Millie went and won this man to the Lord Thursday. Amen? Oh, you say, oh, Brother Danny, well, there he is. There he is. That's all I can say. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. Well, you say, I witnessed to a lot of people and they never come to church. That next one you witnessed to might be the next D.L. Moody, too. You never know. You never know. You never know. Keep putting it out. Keep putting it out. Is that little girl with you tonight, Jan? Where's another one? Is there another? Where's the Duke boys? Duke boys, where is yous tonight? Is your boy here tonight? Alright, where's he at? Stand up over there, buddy. See that boy right there? Them boys rounded him up. They brought him to revival the other night while I was preaching, didn't you? Down there Friday night, we done them rock music message. That old boy there, what's your name, buddy? Do what? D. Hines. Okay, Lee Hines. Amen, Brother Lee. Alright, Lee got saved. And you know what? Stand up, Duke boys. The two Duke boys, stand up. The Duke boys went out and won him the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! Hey, man, if you seen them two characters in church, you'd bow your head and start praying, they'd get saved. And they're probably closer to God than half of y'all, half of us here tonight. I'll tell you what, boy, the Lord sees that heart, and God got on the Duke boys, and the Duke boys got on Lee Hines, and Lee Hines got on the altar and got saved. That's working, man. That's working. They come down there from Morgan another night. Where's Donna at? Where you at, Donna? Stand up over there. Donna had the awfulest load. She had more people in that station wagon than they get in one of them buses. I thought, Lord in mercy, they look like the Archies going down the road. They pulled in there. I don't know how many she had in there. You know what? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Let me tell you some of you old converts something. I'm not being mean. God bless you. I love you. And I'm in the same shape you're in. After you been saved a while, it's hard to keep that fire like you ought to have it. But the happiest days of your life is when you quit worrying about this. And quit worrying about that. And quit worrying about what you heard about that preacher. Quit worrying about what you heard about that preacher. And quit worrying about this doctrine. And quit worrying about that doctrine. I'll guarantee you the Duke boys, they couldn't care less who's arguing over divorce and remarriage. They couldn't care less over who's right on when the Antichrist is going to be born. They know their friends are going to hell, and they want to keep them out of hell. That's what it's all about. And I'll tell you, if you'll stay at your souls, God will bless you. I'll tell you something else. If we'll keep our mind on souls, God will work all the other problems out. When you start trying to do God's business, that's when you get in trouble. When I start playing God's when I get in trouble. When I start trying to straighten out my own life, that's when I get, if I say, God, I'll stay after sinners, you handle it. That's the way it always works out. God wants us to stay after sinners. He'll do His job, we'll do our job. Amen? Then putting out that gospel. Yes, sir. I think about all these girls coming up here, these girls over here stamping letters, mailing letters, putting out tapes, putting them out. These girls do that monthly tape list. I don't know how many tapes they mail out, but I know there's a lot of them. I believe they'll get a reward for every single one they stick in the post office. I believe they'll get a reward for every single one they stamp. I believe they'll get a reward for every single tract that somebody puts a stamp on. I believe God looks down at every bit of that. You listen to me tonight. You say, Brother Danny, I've done all this work for the church and you've never recognized me. I've kind of got my feelings hurt. I went up there and worked like a dog painting that building and I hauled gravel and I hauled, helped them put up them rocks and I done everything. You never bragged on me a bit. I may have forgot about it, but I'll tell you tonight, the Lord ain't forgot it. And the Bible said your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything you do for the Lord, He's a writing it down, He's a marking it down, and one of these days, payday's coming, you'll get a reward for everything you do. You know, we ought not to want people to brag on us down here, because that takes away your reward up there. Sometimes I'll go up and preach and everybody will say, now here's Brother Danny Castle. He has one of the largest churches in Western North Carolina. He's doing a great work. And I'm sitting there saying, shut up. I want something when I get to heaven. Because if you get all you bragged on down here, you don't get nothing up there. And if you say, well, I want somebody to recognize me, I believe I'll wait it out. See what kind of reward the Lord's got. Have it on the tip of your tongue. Boy, I'll never forget that story I read. I think about it every now and then. Where this missionary was on the foreign field and they was having this meeting and some liberal got up to preach and they had this Chinese man interpreting. And that preacher, he'd say, for God so loved the world, Yong Ting Wang, 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 Ding, Wang, that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, and he was interpreting for him. And this guy got up to preach and he was a liberal and he denied the Bible. He didn't believe in the virgin birth. Here's the sorriest preaching you ever heard in your life. And the missionary was sitting there saying, man, I never heard such a mess. That guy was interpreting. He'd say something, that guy'd say something. He'd say something, that guy'd say something. And lo and behold, at the invitation, they stood up and a bunch of people come and got saved. And it blew his mind. He said, I can't believe that. That's the worst preaching I've ever heard in my life. That guy don't even believe the Bible. How'd all these people get saved? He's talking to the interpreter. He said, oh, me no tell him what he say. Me tell them about Jesus. I tell you, that's the way it ought to be. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about nothing. Just tell them about Jesus. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm a little timid about going witnessing because I just don't really know how to put it in words and understand. People get me all confused when they ask Bible questions. You got to know two things. God saved you and God can save them. It's not a sin to say, I don't know. If they say, well, what about this in the Bible? I don't know, but I know one thing. God saved me, and God can save you. You know that much. Surely to goodness you know that much. And that's all you got to know. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. I've noticed that most people who are on fire for God are not Bible scholars. There's something about a lot of that knowledge you get dry and dead when you get it. I've always been a little bit leery of anything that takes away your burden. Amen? You say, you mean you're preaching being dumb? If that's what it takes to bend people to God, yes. Putting out that gospel. Number two, a working church will keep the community clean. I was telling the brother, we was coming up down through North Cove, and he said, we seen this little store there? He said, I bet they sell beer there. And I said, no, they don't. He said, huh? I said, you can't sell beer out here. He said, why? I said, it's against the law. He said, what? They had never heard of that. And I said, you couldn't buy it in Marion until just 4, 5, 6 years ago, and it only lost, but we lost by 30 boats. And I said, all my life, you couldn't buy beer and wine again in Marion. It was against the law. Him and his wife had never heard of that. Ain't that right, brother? They said, we've never heard of that before, a town where you couldn't buy beer and wine. I said, man, go to the next county up above us. And you can't buy it at all in the county except in the bootleggers. And the bootleggers are the ones that should sell it. Amen? Boy, some of you didn't like that, did it? You say, well, Brother Danny, we'll get all... Have anybody seen any of them big new parks in Marion? We've had more plants go out of business and more places shut down and more people laid off. Our town has been made a fool out of in front of the nation. We've been laughed at. They mocked. When you go and tell them you're from Marion, most places, they laugh at you like you're an idiot. And I just sat back and said, ha ha, God, get them, Lord. That's what they get for cramming that stuff down our throat 6 years ago. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, you for boot? No, I'm not for bootleggers, but if anybody sells beer and wine, it ought to be the bootleggers. You know why? Because your kids grow up knowing that it's wrong. And the kids say, that stuff ain't supposed to be sold. It's wrong. You have to go to the crooks to get beer and wine. Now the kids are brought up thinking it's okay when we put our approval on it. And brother, the church needs to work to keep the community clean. I'm not talking about being a Christian smart aleck. I'm talking about just like what happened here a while back. I was in Thrifty Mart, ex-Thrifty Mart, Lowe's store down there. Most of you know this. We probably won't have this on the radio maybe. I don't know. But I was just in here and I'll tell you how it happened. They had moved in beer and wine down there on the shelves, you know, because they extended the city limits down there. And I'd always buy my groceries in there. And I'd go in there and many of you have seen me in there buying groceries, you know, and I'll get pick out for the kid. It don't take me long to know buy groceries. I can buy groceries and half the time takes you. I know what I want before I go in there. We have hamburger helper one day. We have Pop-Tarts or Captain Crunch. Take your pick, buddy. That's our breakfast buffet, son. And you can make up your mind. Once in a while, I'll get really right with God and fix some eggs and bacon, but most of the time it's Pop-Tarts or Captain Crunch. I let Corey up for the next day. And we have a lot of other good things that you wouldn't believe. And then we'll go to the Nebo Fish Camp. And then we'll do this and do that. But I was in there one day, and this lady that worked in there, she said, boy, I tell you, this stuff bothers me, and I don't like it. And she said, I wish y'all get rid of that stuff. And she said, I do too. And she said, there's enough people, you know, and they begin to talk a little bit. So one day, a few days later, I went in the store, and the dear sister that works in there, she said, it just don't seem fair. She said, we want to do right, and we're caught in between this thing. And she said, guess what? She pulled out a yellow pad, one of these yellow sheets right here. And she said, I've got a few, 3 or 4 or 5 signatures here. And she said, my boss man told me if we could get 500 people to sign this, that we could take beer and wine out of our store. I said, is that right? She said, it sure is. She said, will you sign it? I said, sure. And I thought, boy, I began to think. And I just seen y'all in my mind. And I said, lady, you reckon he'd let me borrow that little pad this weekend? I said, I can get 500 signatures Sunday morning. And she said, you can? I said, sure, give it to me. I said, let me have that thing. She went and asked the manager. She said, listen, I'm talking to you about the influence that a church can have on a community. And she said, yes, I'll talk. And she asked him, and she said, guess what? He said you could take it. I said, let me have that thing. Y'all remember that Sunday morning? We brought it up here. I took it back down there the next day, I believe it was. We had another church to help us because we didn't want to cheat, you know. We didn't let all the little kids do it and everything. Just people was big enough to think on the issue. I took them about 526 signatures and laid it down there. And a few days later, they called me on the telephone. They said, come up here. They said, Channel 13 is going to be up here and they want to talk to you. I said, what for? They said, we got to off the shelf. I said, oh, well, boy, I was getting kind of worried there. We ain't been on the news in about 6 months. I thought we was backslid there. I thought something was wrong. We ain't been in the paper or nothing. Something's got to go wrong. And I said, I'll be right up there. And I went up there and they began to talk to me. And on the front of the store, they had this great big sign about that big. Boy, I tell you, I wanted to get a picture of that thing and put it in my slide presentation. And it said, in overwhelming in response to our customers, we here at Lowe's Food will no longer sell beer and wine as of such and such a day. And I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's enough of God's people in McDowell County to absolutely let God have His way in a lot of these things if God's people wouldn't be so complacent and just have the attitude of I don't care and want to get involved. Let me tell you something, folks. They strength in numbers. They pay attention to us now. When we first started, they didn't give us time of day. They used to tell me, they said, when we start building this building, people in town say, Reverend. And I'd say, yep. It's none of my business, but I think you're right, it sure ain't. And they'd say, Why don't have you ever thought about y'all just going out in the country? Finding you a nice spot of land of about 15 acres. Building a pretty church on the hill. I said, no. They said, really, I had. I said, no, I believe the Lord wants us here. You know what? They want rid of us. That's right. They wasn't rid of us. They drive down by that sign out there. It's just like a knife going, right in their guts. You wouldn't believe the people that said, preacher, instead of causing all this trouble with the city, why don't y'all just go? Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? And I sat in the city manager's office. Brother Earl Daniels. Most of y'all know this. I told him. I went up there and I prayed that day. And I said, the Lord wants our church there. Where it's at. So that's all I can tell you. I believe we prayed. And I believe God wants it right there. And that's where it's going to be. He went back to the city council. They began to talk. The city manager stood up. God had bound to God in that thing. Because we was having troubles, y'all remember. And our city manager told the rest of the city council, he said, that boy told me that God wanted that church down there. And he said, I believe him. I said, amen, 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 amen. That's what it's supposed to be. And I tell you tonight, there's enough people here in this church to absolutely put the pressure on to keep the cockroaches in the cracks where they belong. Amen? Now, you know what the people in the community is going to do? Listen carefully. I didn't even plan on saying none of the last 10 minutes. It just popped in my head since I've been up here. You know what the devil and the community try to do? They're going to get us turned against each other, so we'll leave them alone. And that's why when you go to work, they'll say, well, I heard so-and-so goes to your church. Somebody said they heard the other day said that I had run off and left town. And the church run me off. And that I've done this, I've done this. And that my daddy was a millionaire and paid all the bills of the church if y'all would let me stay here and preach. I said, the only person that would wish that to be true is my daddy. I thought, and buddy, he'd like if that was right. But I tell you tonight, brother, he's been ever. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get us turned against each other. Now listen, if one of your Christian brothers and sisters, if they get accused of something out here in the community, you mean you're going to believe them lying devils out there and not even give your brother and sister the benefit of a doubt? I tell you, brother, we're against the whole world, folks. We've got to stick together and work together and lock arm in arm and get the job done that God's called us to do. The Lord will send us the workers. I believe there's people all over McDowell County that God's laid it on their heart to help us out and help us do what God called us to do. And they're scared of what their kin folks would say or they'd do it. Right. One guy told me, he's up in the hospital, he said, somebody told me, he said, you know, when we was trying to build a building, they said, I'm not going to help them. I don't going to help them a bit. I don't want them. He said, that'll never work. That'll never happen. Remember that one old fella he'd come by? We just had all this land graded off. All you could see is a big old bank there and an old building up there. He'd come out there and stood for a long time one day. Real old man. He stood there and he looked. Somebody's out there and he said, I don't believe they'll ever do it. He said, what's that? He said, they'll never get that building down here. He thought we was going to move the whole building. Oh, brother. Not long after that, they said that I made everybody in the church sell their TVs and give me the money. Hey, all in favor, say amen. They said that I made everybody take off their watches and rings and their jewelry and give it all to me. Like that one fella said, he was talking about that somebody come in and rob the church. They come in with guns and they held up and they made everybody give take their watches and their rings off and they robbed them. He said, buddy, they didn't get my wife, so she hid hers in her mouth. That man said, Lord have mercy, if I'd have known you'd have my mother-in-law there, you could have saved every bit of it. But I tell you what, buddy, we can keep a community clean. It would be no telling what could be accomplished if it don't matter who gets the credit. Amen? If we could get rid of one big sin, any church has a problem with this sin. And this sin is jealousy. Somebody else getting my part. Somebody else doing something better than I can do it. Well, we could just get this old flesh out of the way and haul off and go to work for God, not caring who gets the credit, who gets in the limelight, who gets to sing, who gets to preach, who cares? Just do something for God. Buddy, God will get anything like that, and it'll be like a brush fire and spread all over the place. Just stand for the brother and sister in Christ. Just listen. You ought to stand up for one of your brothers and sisters in Christ just like you'd stand up for your real brother and sister in the flesh.
And you can't tell me the way some of you people treat each other that you'd treat your own brother and sister like that in the flesh. If you do, you sure need to get your heart right with God. Hey, I've got two sisters tonight. As you know, one of my sisters is over here on the other side of town. My other sister is dying with cancer up on Buck Creek tonight, probably with just a few weeks to live. And buddy, if anybody runs their mouth bad about one of my sisters, I'd be ready to fight you. And you girls in here tonight are my Christian sisters. And you men in here are my Christian brothers. You know what? A lot of times we'll just let people run their mouth about our brothers and sisters and cut them down. And not on my mouth!
Well, if we don't stand up for each other, Lord, they sure ain't nobody else going to stand up for us. We need to keep a community clean. I seen a man today. Well-known man in this town. Everybody knows this man. Half of y'all probably know this man's name. He owns property and all this. Every time he said, "Well, hey there, young man, how are you?" You know how when they get successful, you know, that's how they act. He said, "It sure is good to see you. You never know if they mean it or what." And I said, "Thank you." He said, "You're just doing a tremendous work over there. How many you have now?" I said, "I think we had 562 this morning Sunday school." "Oh, that's tremendous. I just think you're doing well." I said, "All right, we'll see how much you like it. We're wanting to build a Christian school if we had the money. We ain't got the money. But I'll find out how much he likes us." He said, "Well, you just pray. God will give it to you." That's what he said. I said, "God ain't got no money. You know how God gives money? He gives it through people. We're the one got the money in our pocket. The Lord, there ain't no dog. You think God have something that dirty up there in heaven? God lays it on people's heart and they give. There's somebody in McDowell County tonight that could build us property and build. We could build a building. You think I want to have a Christian school because I want some? Are you kidding? That's off his headache. People say I'm crazy for even more, but I believe McDowell County needs something like that so bad it's pitiful. We've got people praying all over McDowell County that we'll start." I say, "Okay, you give us some money, we'll do it." Ain't got no money. We need to keep that community clean. Not only that, in caring for those in need. Well, there's a bunch of things you can do here. Change lights, pick up papers in the hall, make visitors welcome. How many of you tried to welcome a visitor here this morning? Raise your hand. You may not sit around. No, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Well, there's a bunch of people. Listen. You know what? The first impression people have of a church ain't the preaching. And it ain't the singing. You know what it is? It's how friendly the people are that sit right around them. You don't know how God might use you. Listen, how would you feel if you walked into a room with 600 people in it? And didn't know nobody and just sit down and nobody spoke to you? I wouldn't want to go back. I've been to churches to preach where they looked at me like, "What are you doing here?" Their lips stuck out to here. Jaws hung down like my bulldogs. Buddy, if you start saying, "Hey, I'll snap your hand off." Listen, we need to make people welcome. Not only that, taking meals. I appreciate our ladies carrying meals to those that are sick. When a lady goes to the hospital, has an operation or something, not able to clean up her house, our Dorcas Club ladies will carry them meals. I appreciate that. That's a working church, a working church. You know what? Somebody needs to be in the card ministry. And just sit right out little cards. "Get well. We love you. New Man of Baptist Church." Put them out to everybody in the hospital. Do that. Listen, that can be done. That can be done. There's a work. Count your obligations, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord wants done. We need to make up our mind tonight that we should work and work and work and work. And listen, there was a lady, you remember a few years ago when we had others in Bible school, and our theme was others. Lord, yes, others. May this my motto be. Let me live for others that I may live like thee. And we said, do something for other people. That week, instead of doing a project and gluing ice cream sticks together, we sent out our teenagers to go out and do something around the community. And some of our teenage boys went out to a certain section of this county. I won't say which section. They went to a certain section of this county, and there was an old lady there who was crippled, and they took lawnmowers and stuff and trimmed her yard and mowed her grass.
And the next service we had service, I pulled up there in the parking lot of the old building. There was a strange looking car sitting there with an old lady in it. And boy, they called me over there. She said, "Are you the preacher?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She gave me a little old envelope. She said, "I want you to have this." I read it, and you know what it said? "Dear Reverend Castle, thank you so much for letting those boys come out and mow my grass." She said, "I have lived in McDowell County," and she named the community she lived in. Some of y'all live in that community. She said, "I have lived in Marion for so many years, 6-7 years. She said, "There has never been one church offer to do one thing for me. Nobody has ever asked me, did I need any help? Nobody has ever." She said, "You are the first group that's ever done anything for me. Here," she wrote us a check, said, "Here, use this for whatever you need to do." I thought, Lord, isn't that a sad commentary? 150 churches in McDowell County. Nobody had ever knocked on that dear old lady's door and said, "Ma'am, can we help you? Ma'am," there used to be an old man and woman live over here in Stumptown. I used to go visit them every now and then. Both of them was in pitiful shape. I believe they're both dead now. They just barely come through the house like this. The old woman walked like this, and the man, he was bedfast. And I'd go over and see them, and many times we'd send them groceries and took them things. There's something that you can do if you quit thinking about yourself all the time and say, "I want to work for God." Last thing I'll say, and I guess I ought to skip this, but I'm going to say it just quickly. In giving and sending out missionaries into the world, everybody ought to give to missions. Instead of having an invitation tonight, and just letting you come down here and pray, what if I said, "Who's going to start giving to missions every month?" Now, here's what you could do. I'm not saying everybody can. It's just what popped in my head. Every family in here should try to give a $25 mission offering. It don't go to our church. We don't get a dime of it. We're just trying to help them boys out on that mission field. That is about 80 cents a day or a Coke out of a machine. Now, I ain't a day goes by that I don't drink a Coke. I mean, unless I'm maybe fasting or something, just drinking juice and water or something like that, I drink Coke every day. Pepsi Coke every day. I drink more than one. And I know that I can afford. Kool-Aid costs maybe half as much, 40 cents a day. Tea, coffee. You may be like that one fella. Doc said, "How much coffee you drink a day? Do you drink over 4 coffees a day?" He said, "Lord, doctor, I spill more than that." There's a lot of them like that. And I ain't saying there ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you got that weird of taste buds, that's your business. But I'll tell you something, buddy. You hear me? There ain't nobody in here that couldn't give a little bit to them mission. And some could give a lot more than others. Hey, I'm not against having a shotgun. I've got 2 shotguns. Both my shotguns were Christmas presents. Daddy got me a sawed off one about that long and said, "Here, this is a preacher gun." I can tell you some stuff about my daddy. He watching out for me, I can promise you that. There was a time here in Marion when something was going on that all y'all know about, and he was ready for action. He really was. But I tell you what, folks, he said, "Here, it's got Harley Davidson stickers on it. It says, 'Ride to live and live to ride.' Got them big wings on it, says Harley." And I got that thing too, boy. And I'd take it out to camp and you'd shoot snakes with. And, you know, you may have a gun. You may have a rowboat. Nothing wrong with having a boat. Ain't nothing wrong with having a boat. I'd like to have a boat myself. I never wanted a boat till we got to camp. Now I'd like to have a boat. I've got interested in them things. Nothing wrong with having an extra car. I got a truck. I got a little Toyota truck. Told you about it a while ago. And I got my Honda sitting out there. Nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what. If I can afford Pepsi every day. Hey, you spend, some of y'all ladies spend that much on makeup. $25 a week. A month. A week, probably. You get it like, you're just going to buy you a putty knife, some of you, man. You scoop it up in there and just Bondo it up there a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. I don't care if you do it or not. Don't bother me. But I'm saying this, what's wrong with putting in some money to them missionaries? What's wrong with that? You ever notice how the devil says, well, you just can't afford it this month? Hey, you think about them boys over there who got bills to pay. They've got groceries to buy. They've got kids, right? Our church, listen, you know what? You know, we've been broke for several years now because of taking on the extra expense of the camp and all of that. And if we're going to raise our mission support, it's just going to have to come right out of our pockets. And we can do it! We can do it! But like it says, take on at least 10 missionaries this summer and double what we're giving the ones we already support, about 20 or 21. Can do it. We can do it. Ain't no doubt about it. We can do it. The Lord said, go into Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. What about the week? You know what we got to do this week? We got to build that dining room out to camp. I mean, it's got to be done. Mr. Powell has worked hard. But Bill Sigmund over here, them boys, some of them boys volunteered. They worked like dogs yesterday. I mean, it was hot. You'll hear a great prophetic statement? 7 days. 7 days! We've got to build a dining room. We need an electrician and a half. We need some men. Maybe we might could twist Mr. Powell's arm and ask him to work second shift tomorrow if about 10 men. It's Memorial Day. Hey, how about this? How about a Memorial Day picnic? How about the ladies cleaning? Bringing some sandwiches. The men working tomorrow evening. Some have already got plans. Nothing wrong with that. What about Tuesday evening? What about Saturday? Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? All right. Kathy, come on to the piano. We're not going to give an invitation. You know why? The Lord showed me before I came to church tonight, don't give no invitation. I said, okay, I ain't going to give no invitation. If I give an invitation, there'll be about 10 people come to the altar, and the rest of you say, whew, that's who he's preaching to. Got that guilt off of me. But I'm just going to dump it on you and leave it right there. Could get real mean and start having you to just stand up and tell us what the Lord's told you. But I won't do that. If he's talking to you, you just do what he tells you.